Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. It sounds to me like Paul is struggling with describing something. And Paul isn't the guy who struggles to describe something. In fact, I think his pen is probably smoking at this point.
The reality is we may never come to fully understand God's love for us. Paul is trying to capture the enormity of it in this passage in Ephesians. But it's so much more than words can describe. You are so loved by God, and He wants you filled with that love so that you're able to conquer anything this life throws at you. With part two of our study in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Our outer man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. And everybody said, amen, because we all know the outer man is perishing. So God strengthens our inner man, which is becoming more powerful, we could say younger, more agile, when the Holy Spirit works within us. And as we grow older, our inner man becomes stronger. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in you, your hearts, through faith. Now I want you to note that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I'm really tempted to go down a rabbit trail here, and I'm only going to slightly do it, okay? Last night, I have more time on Saturday night, so if you want to hear long sermons, go to Saturday night, because I can't seem to stop talking on Saturday night. I have to on Sunday morning. But notice here he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. There's a group of pastors out there who don't like the term, receive Jesus into your hearts as your personal Lord and Savior. They mock it. They say, where is that in the Bible? The Bible never uses the phrase, receive Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. And so people have come up with this, and you think you're giving your life to Jesus, but you're not giving your life to Jesus when you invite Jesus in as your personal Lord and Savior. But every part of that statement is true. And every part of that statement can be built from other passages in the scriptures. So the phrase might not be there, but the Bible teaches every single part of it. And it is not easy believism. That's the attack that they'll give. This is easy believism. Invite Jesus into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior, and they'll kind of mock it. Well, you're mocking something that is very important, because the word here for heart, when it says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that's the word cardio. We get the idea of cardio, the heart, from this Greek word, but it's not talking about the actual beating heart. Jesus doesn't move into your heart while it's beating. Boom, 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 boom. It's an analogy into the center of who you are. Just as the heart's in the center-ish, so Jesus is in the center of our lives. We use the word heart for that same thing. I say, I feel it with all of my heart. I don't mean, I feel it, oh my heart, I feel it. I don't mean that. I mean, I feel it with all of my heart. So when I ask you, have you received Jesus? John 1:12 says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God. So I'm asking you to receive Jesus biblically into your heart, into the center of who you are, to be your personal. What's it going to be? Not personal. He's saved a lot of people, but in order for you to be saved, you've got to be born again. That's personal. Jesus isn't like, I don't want to make this personal, but you're going to have to give your life to me, but not personal. Doesn't make any sense. Receive Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord, which means you will do whatever he says. He's your Lord and Savior. He's the one who saved you by dying on the cross. Where? Can I talk to the guys who are saying this for a moment? They'll never hear this, but let me talk to them for a minute. Where do you get off mocking the things of God that way? Mocking the salvation of men and women that way? For whatever reasons you're doing it for, that you want to feel superior to other Christians, you end up putting yourself above the scriptures in doing so. When the Bible tells people, all they need to do is call out on the name of God and you will be saved. Talk about simplicity. Talk about easy. And you want to say that salvation is more complicated than that? What do you want to say it is? What do you got to do? If calling out on God isn't enough for me to get saved, even though the scripture says that, if receiving Christ into my life and becoming a child of God isn't enough for that to happen, what do you want me to do? What are you calling too easy? Now, I'm not saying your life doesn't change after you get saved, right? I'm not saying that now that you become a Christian, there's the fruit that you are a genuine Christian and you become a different person. But they're getting the cart before the horse when they want you to do something to prove that you're serious about giving your life to Christ, when all you need to do is call upon God. I love that Billy Graham had during his, I'm way off on my rabbit trail. I love that Billy Graham at his crusades would have the song played, Come Just As You Are. Because that's the idea, I don't need to take a bath before I take a shower. I don't need to sit here and get things right with God, I need to go up there and get things right with God. Just as I am, Lord, I come to you and I give my life to you. Skip Heitzig, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Albuquerque, Gino Geraci, the retired pastor of Calvary Chapel in South Denver, both friends of mine got saved at Billy Graham conferences when they came forward. And see, so many people do so. So anyway, there's the rabbit trail on this verse, that Christ may be in your heart, your cardio, through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now there's our phrase for the first point. That you would be rooted and grounded in love. I already told you that's being established in Christ. But this is not your love for other people. That's 1 Corinthians 13. This is God's love for you. So we go on now to the second point, love that surpasses knowledge. It says in verse 18, may be able to comprehend that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. It sounds to me like Paul is struggling with describing something. And Paul isn't the guy who struggles to describe something. In fact, I think his pen is probably smoking at this point. Or if he is dictating it, the scribe is like, this is awesome stuff. He just needs to keep going. Because you break this down, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend something that is uncomprehendable with all of the saints. We all need to know this love for us. That is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. That kind of four stages or four different views of the love of God. It has width to it, it has length to it, it has depth to it, and it has height to it. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So here we've seen that twice, that we might be able to comprehend this love that has all of these different aspects, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. When you begin to understand how much God loves you, then you're filled with the fullness of God. Because we have a tendency to listen to the devil accuse us. God doesn't really love me. God loves other people. He doesn't really love me. I just want to read you a couple passages on the love of God. The one you would be surprised to find, that's Revelation. You wouldn't think of Revelation would be one of the great places you'd find a passage about God loving you. You might think it'd be a great place where he would say, get your life right so you don't get left behind. Don't ever see what's happening in the book of Revelation, right? But here's what he says, Revelation 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. It's pretty grand. Jesus is the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him, listen to this, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Who loved you so much that he washed you with his blood and made you kings and priests. Why are you a priest? Because you now go right to God. Priests could go to God for the people. And now with your sins forgiven, you go directly to God as a priest. And he's made you a king. You now are in that highest position between Jesus. In 1 John 4:9, another passage on God's love. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us. The word manifest means revealed. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation. Not that you loved God, but that he loved you. I had a friend of mine when I was in Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque, the youth pastor there, and I'd see him on a Sunday morning, and he would talk to me a little bit, then he would say, I just love God so much. That's, he told that to everybody. I just love God so much. That was his thing. I just love God so much. And I always wanted to say to him, so do I. I just don't go around telling people all the time. Look, it doesn't surprise me that you love God. Once you learn of his mercy that abounds, his grace, his gifts, his move in your life, his willingness to forgive you, the giving of his Son for your forgiveness, God is altogether lovable. Does it surprise me that you love God? What surprises me is God loves you. Or me. Pastor Chuck used to say, it doesn't surprise us that the frog wanted to be kissed by the princess. It surprises us that the princess kissed the frog. Then he would say, and you guys are the frog. And Jesus is the one who has reached out to us. It's not that we loved him, it says, but that he loved us. That's the amazing thing. That's the thing that matters. I'm not saying your love for him is trivial. I'm just saying his love for you is of much more weight. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I've got more here, but let me just read this one. The Lord your God in the midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. This is the idea of celebration. One day when you enter into the presence of God, and that's what I believe this is writing about, God's going to rejoice over you with gladness. He's going to see you and he's going to rejoice. It's like when you see an old friend and you haven't seen him for a while and you are so excited to see them. God's going to rejoice over you with gladness, it says. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's kind of heavy, isn't it? Does this mean that when we all get up into heaven, we're going to stop and listen to God sing? I was listening to the harmonies of the group here today, and I was like, man, that's awesome. That is just so awesome. I loved it. But I wonder what God will sound like when he's rejoicing over me. God's going to rejoice over me? I understand God rejoicing over Billy Graham. But me? What an amazing promise. Oh, I got to read this one, even though it's going to make me late. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Knowing us in totality, he chose us to be his kids. Not born into his family, but chosen into his family. I heard of an adoptive parent. Their child was going through a struggle and being adopted. And the adopted parent said, we chose to love you. Other people have kids, but we chose to love you. And there's some power in our choosing to love you. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know him because it did not know him. Now, our final point, I have 1 minute for, by the way, is that love that fills us to all fullness of God. Love that fills us to all fullness of God. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now, this is the third time we've been told this. Beyond understanding, it passes knowledge. We're not going to grasp it. We're not going to completely get it. We don't know how much God loves us, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, we just got to know some of it. We're not going to know it all, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. If you know that you are really and truly loved by God, you're now filled with the fullness of God, and now your behavior changes because you know how much God loves you. You know the great love he has for you. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now we're just told we're filled with the love of God, and now he's given a benediction to his prayer. This is the closing. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the power that works in us. That's like a triple whammy. He doesn't say, and now unto God who is able to do more than you ask. Now unto God who is able to exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask, think, or imagine. I don't know about you, but I can ask an awful lot. I can think an awful lot. And I can imagine even more. And God's able to do everything that I ask, think, and imagine. Verse 21, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Understanding to whom we belong, we don't belong to this world. This world is heading headlong into perverse. Trying to think of the words that Romans 1 uses. God gave them over to their own vile passions. That was the word. This world is diving headlong into vile passions. I won't give you the list, but one of the latest ones is that states are coming out now that the charges against someone that has sex with a child will now be called a sexually attracted person. No longer are they called a pedophile. Do you remember President Barack Obama was against gay marriage? Do you guys remember that? He was against it. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, does it? It doesn't seem like it was, it wasn't that long ago, but he was against it. But then it became normalized. Then everybody was for it. Well, they're normalizing pedophiles now. And states are right now, on November 4th, putting on their ballot to reduce the age of consent, some to 10 and some to 12. Now, they're very careful to say, this doesn't mean we're not going to prosecute people that have sex with a 14-year-old. That would still be illegal. Then why would you reduce the age of consent? It's just a step in the direction that they want to go. Why was Maxwell from the Epstein thing, so he had an island with children on it, and he had powerful men that went and had sex with these children. Why was she arrested and none of the Johns were arrested? What kind of world are we living in? And you are God's salt. You're the light. Don't love this world. This world's heading in directions that are unbelievable. We've got a ballot on the Arizona, ballot 139, that will make abortion legal up until the birth of a child. In the debate, I don't want to get political, but here I am. In the debate, Kamala Harris said, there are no late-term abortions. There was 12,000 documented last year. 12,000 in 2023. That's none. You know what she's saying? Well, not compared to the amount of abortions. Because out of a million abortions, over a million in 2023. Over a million. In 2023, 12,000 of them were babies that were viable outside of the womb. There's no reason a woman has to have an abortion to save her life. This is a lie they've told forever. There's no reason. You can have a C-section if you need to. If the trauma of giving birth is going to be too much, there can be a C-section. An abortion is more dangerous than giving birth. So a woman that is compromised to give birth is compromised to have an abortion. We just believe the lies. There's no woman in anywhere in the United States that had a miscarriage that died because of a pro-life law that died because a baby rotted in her belly. That's a lie. And any doctor who didn't go in and remove that baby will be held liable. He can be sued because no law stopped him from going in and receiving a fetus that had died and been miscarried. But these lies are told on TV. Today they are. There's no law that says that you cannot remove an ectopic pregnancy. It's not even a DNC. They don't even use a DNC. And a DNC is used often for other procedures besides abortion. It is used for abortion, but it's used for other procedures. So it's just a lie that they say that we have killed women, that pro-life, what they're saying is pro-life white men have killed women. That's what they're saying. No, abortion has killed women. And besides that, there's two people involved in that abortion and 100% of them die. And that's the baby. And in Minnesota, some of them have been left surviving a late-term abortion, left on a cold table to be able to die, which is not abortion, but it is infanticide. That's the world we're living in. Talk about, it's kind of not a rabbit trail. I just shouldn't be on it. I just shouldn't be going down it. I'm just saying, let's stop loving this world and the things of this world, because it's heading down more vile passions. We're going to see more of homosexuality in our face, more transgenderism in our face, which really is like being born again. They're stealing religion, because now I'm a new person. I've got a new name. And don't you call me by my old name. Don't you call me by my old gender, because I'm a new person. It's like they're religious. It's like the enemy is mocking us by the commitment that we've made. So may we walk in the love of God. May we stand firm for him. May God grant our nation, this world, because this stuff's going around the world. May God grant our world a future to be able to see people come to Christ. Speaking of that, I'm really late. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is deep. It is powerful. Thank you that we are challenged to save the lives of babies and to put these lies, to stop these lies right away. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to understand there's no reason that there would be a million abortions in America in 2023 and over a million in 2024. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us be able to stand for you and stand strongly and do your work for our nation, that we can stand for the gospel and against this anti-gospel that is being taught, the vile passions this world has been given over to. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I've done it again. I've gone too long and I can't give an altar call. And I hate that, because I believe there are those who you here today who want to give your life to Christ. So let me just say this to you. Will you receive Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior? Yes. Will you call out on the name of God and be saved? Because that's what it says. Call out on the name of God and be saved. All you need to do is say to him, Lord, come into my life. I'm done living for myself. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. Tell him, I'm done living for myself. I'm now going to live for you. That's why you were created, for this moment, for you to come to him. So come to Christ. Stop by our New Believers table. Afterwards, let them know I gave my life to Jesus today.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.